Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. This is hour number two of our show right here on Sports Grid, YouTube. Of course, a lot of the different streaming apps that you can download, including Pluto TV, Zumo TV, and Stir as well. And also, don't forget, for those of you who, you know, may just be sitting in your house or sitting outside, you're in your backyard, taking care of your kids, practicing social distancing, and just kind of staying away, and you only have time for audio, you can also download the show in podcast form just by downloading it on iTunes or on Android. It's in all of the app stores, basically, essentially, the audio version of it as well. Also, audioboom.com is the spot that we upload the audio for you guys as well, just in case the video portion, for whatever reason, is not for you. You don't want to look at me and Joe every day. I get it.
No problem.
I totally understand. Yep. Before we get into some more football here, let's give you the latest as to what's going on in baseball. First and foremost, earlier today, Joe, it was announced by Major League Baseball that minor league players are going to be paid all the way through the end of May. But they will be paid actually by the teams, not by the league. So I just want to be specific on
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. Okay.
The teams are going to take care of that. So we could kind of start there. The number is $400. And so you know naturally what happens on social media. Initially, it is great. Oh, my gosh. It's so nice. And then it's like, wait a second. $400. What are you going to do with that $400 a week? But the reality is that a lot of people didn't expect baseball to do anything for these minor leaguers. I have some emotions about it. I guess on the one hand, I'm happy that teams are taking the necessary initiative to take care of their minor league players. On the other hand, of course, I would like to see it a little bit more, but hard for us to argue anything like that when so many people are out of work as well, just like the employees of minor league baseball.
Yeah, and it I don't think people realize, too, it sucks for them because they're still under contract with these teams. So even though they're not playing, they can't file for unemployment. They can't go out and get another job. Like, so they're kind of – they were handcuffed in this situation. So I'm glad to see the teams – stepping up to the plate and taking care of it. I mean, the salary's always been a very contentious conversation there. When you look at what some of the, you know, D-League players in the NBA or some of the practice squad player, what those guys are making versus what these guys are making, it's sad, to tell you the truth. $400 a week, and you got to live with somebody, you got to ride a bus, you got to live out of a suitcase.
For sure.
Not an easy life, guys.
No, it's not. And look, they've been discussing for so many years just the issues that there is with minor league baseball. You know, it looks like they're going to be eliminating a lot of teams in minor league baseball, and supposedly that's to enhance the kids who are playing in the minors right now by, you know, basically shortening the pool. But that is going to create less opportunities for kids to try and live out their dreams. We know that the draft, if it happens, is only going to be potentially a five-round Major League Baseball draft. So essentially, what does that mean? It means, you know, anybody who thought that they were going to be in this draft is going to have to go back to school. They have to go back to college, college, maybe try and gain an extra year of eligibility and wait till 2021. I get it because teams, you know, can't necessarily scout as well as they could have fully all the way through June. But at the same time, Joe, baseball's going to save so much money with not having to pay out these bonuses. Remember, there are some kids that get drafted in the sixth, seventh, eighth round that they're like, you know, you've heard the story before. Oh, I'm going to go back to school. I want to go to Pepperdine. Oh, well, but if you give me 200 grand, then I'll go play for you. And the cap is 20 grand. So these kids are all going back to school.
And hopefully, I think people understand now when they hear those numbers, though, it's that money is meant to actually kind of, you know, float these kids for their initial push through some of the minor leagues, because that I think it gets even worse when you go down, because like rookie ball, it's only like $200 to $300 somewhere along those lines. A ball, it's not really it doesn't get better than $400.
Yeah, hopefully that'll get fixed. Also, a story came yesterday, which, you know, obviously I don't want to spend a lot of time on negative stuff, but it is at least something that's worth bringing up. Is there's a report coming out of Toronto yesterday, Joe, and you know, certainly we'll update this for you throughout the week, but apparently Canada, the entire country, is cutting everything off through June, which would mean, I mean, if they're starting a baseball season, Joe, in June, the Blue Jays playing on the road, like I mean, I don't know, like the longer this goes, the more sad I get to think that, you know, I mean, maybe we are only looking at a 90-game season or an 80-game season.
And again, still got to answer the question as far as they're not dropping them in and saying, go ahead and play. There's still got to be that, you know, at least that three-week period there that they can get back out for a for an abbreviated spring training. And where is that going to be? Central locations? Is it, you know, how is that going to work? There's a lot of maneuvering going on right now with Rob Manfred and company there in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's got to be. So we'll keep you updated on Canada. Canada seems to have attacked this the right way because they have a lot less issues, of course, here in the states that we have here. The other story that came out of baseball yesterday, not a huge surprise. How this will affect fantasy is not a huge deal. The reality of it is, though, is, and because we're not getting really firsthand accounts of what the players are doing right now, but make no mistake about it, there is some pitcher somewhere in the country that unfortunately is going to get hurt. Dr. James, and this is, look, I mean, Chris Sales, you know, had Tommy John. He's out for the year. Noah Syndergaard out for the year. Dr. James Andrews, who's the foremost doctor in having Tommy John surgeries, he announced on Tuesday, Joe, that no more Tommy John surgeries until this is all cleared up. So scary thought for a pitcher who has an issue with them or needs to be checked out. You would have thought that anybody who could get this done now, let's say hypothetically in April or May, maybe you're back by the All-Star break next year. Anybody with Tommy John surgery at this point who needs it is going to miss all of this year and all of next year too.
We don't even know. I mean, there were a couple, a lot of people were questioning, and I knew, of course, ruin it. Somebody's got to open and complain because ruins it for everybody. But there were a lot of conversations about, well, isn't that an elective surgery? Like, I thought we were stopping elective surgeries in this country. You know, he's in northern Florida, I believe, Pensacola, somewhere in the panhandle over there. And so there was obviously some, there was some blowback there with him doing Chris Sale's, you know, Tommy John. Like, what are you doing? Like, I thought we were no more elective surgeries. We need the hospital bed. So this is obviously a reaction to that. And I understand why they have opted to stop, because the appearance of it is, you know, certainly wasn't a good look there.
No, and Syndergaard, you know, kind of the same a little bit. Syndergaard had his in Florida as well.
Yeah, Syndergaard.
No, that's part of it, and that puts guys, you know, especially for those people who watch me for fantasy baseball, listen to me for fantasy base, you know, in dynasty leagues. If you have any possible issue with a pitcher that may be hurt, you better really think this through, because you could be losing a guy for 2 years
instead
of one.
Right.
Changes the dynamic completely. We touched on the changes in the NFL. We can kind of reset that here for a minute in case you missed the first hour of the show. The NFL has decided, as everybody knows, to add an additional playoff teams in each conference. Wild card week is going to be absolutely wild. We're going to have three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday. They're talking about playing Eastern games of 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 8 o'clock. And Joe, you and I talked about this as well. It's worth resetting the idea that, yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, there's going to be more money involved for everybody. But with every upside, there is some downside. And the downside is that, you know, and maybe it's a good thing for FanDuel or somebody else to throw up there is, will an eight and eight team in the next 10 years win a Super Bowl? Yes or no, you know?
And what we're going to find out. I mean, everyone loves a good Cinderella story, right? You know, everybody loves that. And, you know, we've had a couple of those. I think we've had a couple of wild card teams, you know, since it, you know, implemented there years back in the NFL. The Giants, you know, the year that they beat New England, the best team ever, right? The Randy Moss, the undefeated. You know, they were barely 500, guys. They, you know, they got really hot the last.
Were they 9-7?
Yeah, and then they won the NFC East, and then they kind of took that or put themselves eligible to even get the wild card at that spot to be able to get going. And, man, they were just – that defense clicked, and that was the end of it. They started trucking people at that point all the way through to Tom Brady and company. But it doesn't happen often. It has not happened often. But I think with the extra game, the extra two teams – you know, you're giving guys an extra week to get healthy if something were to happen. The dynamic is going to change for sure, but you're still looking at possibility of a 7-19. Pittsburgh would have been in if this was implemented this year. We'd be talking about Pittsburgh playing a game against, I think, Kansas City, number two team, Kansas City or New England or something along those lines. So, yeah, a 7-9, and I don't know how they got to 7-9 without Ben Roethlisberger, but a 7-9 Steelers team would have been playing
the game. That just can't happen. We can't have a team under 500
right.
in the playoffs.
So
that's crossing the line.
I mean,
500
you.
Is one thing, but
that's
I mean, a losing team in the playoffs. I mean, I guess we've had that in the NBA in the past, right? Like the eighth seed sometime is like two games under, three games under.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is there is get the number one seed.
I think that's the biggest takeaway for me.
Get the number one. Yep.
I mean, what is that worth? You're the only team in the league. Like, they'll still have bye weeks, right? But this is the only. There's going to be two teams in the NFL that are not gonna, that are going to get a week off. Like, what is that worth to these teams down the stretch? It seemed. I mean, historically speaking, even from a betting perspective, it does certainly seem like teams play better off a bye. And when we're building our narratives every year in the NFL, like, well, they're coming off the bye. Well, that's like what we build toward the positive of a team covering. I mean,
now
I can only
imagine.
Now they're going
to play an extra game, so having that week off is huge. Absolutely huge. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely think that that's a big part of it, too. And as we mentioned also, you can go back and watch us on demand. The NFL also decided that they're going to have, like, a kids broadcast, which is going to be on Nickelodeon. Any guess who would be the star of that broadcast, the kids broadcast?
It's going to be...
SpongeBob?
It's got to be. It's either that or
SpongeBob
Barney,
in the
one or the other. You know what I mean?
Virtual SpongeBob on the sidelines show?
Exactly.
Hey,
Nickelodeon plays nothing but shows from the 70s. I mean, Nick at Night is crazy. So it'll be interesting to see how they formulate it. But I think it's going to be a lot of guys in, you know, without shoulder pads on and some famous faces. I could see Watt doing it. I could, you know, I can see that kind of situation.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. We'll see how much cartooning they put in there as well. But, yeah, I was a big Nick fan, you know, a lot younger. My son, my daughter, they were kind of into it a little bit. But the problem with Nick is that they, like, replay the same shows over and over and over again. It's not – sometimes there's not – they probably have new programming that I'm just not seeing. But
no, it's the same old thing.
Okay.
It's Dora the Explorer on crack, and it just keeps rolling. So, it's it's just
that's
enrolling. And it doesn't matter because the kids are just like, I don't care that they saw it 20 minutes ago. They don't care.
Yeah. No, watch it. They want to see it over and over.
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting story from NFL.com. Draft is coming up soon, of course. The NFL is saying, at least for the time being, it's amazing. The NFL just, like, doesn't care about – I mean, I don't want to say they don't care, but it feels like it's just, like, this train is rolling and, like, you know, pandemic this and
– keep it going.
This, we just don't care, you know? But their goal is to have 50 different players taking part in a virtual NFL draft, which is essentially what the NFL draft is, So that means, like us, with the webcams and with the computers and with good internet, hopefully, we'll be seeing a lot of players being interviewed in that way when the draft goes on. So I would ask you, Joe, is this a huge departure from what we've seen in the past? Can you live with this? What I mean, are we going to be taking odds on how many webcams go down in one day from the players? Like, it's technology. I can only imagine what this is going to look like on draft.
I'm going to be interested. To me, the handoff, because usually, you know, they come up with the envelope, the announcement's made, and usually, you know, the player is sitting there either in the green room or out there going, oh, so now they've got to notify the producers to make sure he's got queued up the right webcam for the right player when they announce the name. So this is going to be a little trickier. And we've said it the whole time that this is a the producers are going to earn their money for this telecast. But I think 50 is about right. Anything can happen, obviously. But, you know, having that webcam in the house, I'm sure the NFL is going to send them all 32 hats. Just make sure you put on the right hat, kid, when they when the name is called, and you'll be good to go. They're sending out draft packages. So, you know, I think they'll set them up with everything they need, and I think there'll be some hats involved instead of jerseys this time.
Yeah, they got to clean off 30 hats.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Like, yep. Wash them all off.
That's correct.
It's just kind of nuts to be able to think about it. In terms of the draft itself, I know that we've, you know, started to dive into it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of discussion is now in the top few picks of the draft, just like who's going to be in and who's going to be trading out. In terms of the draft, Joe, itself, and, you know, I can't speak about every team in the NFL, but do have some insight on the Dolphins. I have broken some news on them in the past as well. The only understanding that I have at this point, at least from that perspective and from what I've heard, things can change, is that Cincinnati is taking Joe Burrow, and that is the end of the story. And I don't think that they're sacrificing the idea of having arguably the best quarterback to come out of college in years for a few draft picks to just try and fix the rest of the team. I mean, it starts with the quarterback. I don't think the Dolphins are moving up to one. But beyond that, I could see some team, at least with the threat of them trying to grab Tua where Detroit is.
Right.
Detroit seems to be committed to Stafford. I've seen things change so fast in sports that I'm not fully buying it, but at least I'll buy what they're saying for the time being. So that's basically what I can share at this point. If I was involved at all with this from an interest perspective, from a wagering perspective, I'd bet on Miami not having the first pick overall and either staying where they are or moving up a couple of spots. I think they end up taking Tua, and I think that Tua, honestly, I don't think he plays a single game in 2020. I think that it's a complete redshirt season. If anything, he plays maybe one game at the end of the year.
Right.
No camp, no offseason workouts. Video that Tua showed on Instagram from, what, a week ago for the first time, dropping back and running. I don't see this guy playing in a single game this year, Joe. And I think it's the right move. If Fitzpatrick is fine to play for a year, Tua gets his shot with Miami in 2021.
I love the Dolphins. I think they hold all the cards in this draft. They've got 14 draft picks, guys, coming their way. 14. I can promise you they will not be drafting 14 people. A lot of that may not be at the top, but look for them to move up from number 18. They also have number 26. Look for them to maneuver down at the bottom of that first round in order to be able to go up and get a player or two that they like an awful lot. It may not be Tua. It may not be Herbert. Look for Love as a possibility as the quarterback of the future for the Dolphins. They can do whatever they want with that much draft capital right now.
All right, we'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming back, a whole lot more discussion, including some of the things that you're watching on television that may not necessarily be sports, but have a little bit of a sports theme into it. We'll be back with more Craig and Joe right after this, right here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Ranieri with you here on the show. And it is great to be able to talk sports. And honestly, we're blessed to be able to be with you guys and be broadcasting every single day, giving you new content, talking about things that are happening in our lives, things that are happening in sports as well. But honestly, this time, I've been watching things, Joe, that I never thought that I'd be watching before. And the one show right now on Netflix,
don't even tell me, everybody in a tizzy,
this Tiger King documentary. Absolutely. Now, before we go any further here, have you watched this documentary from the beginning to the end? Because I want to make sure that I'm not, first of all, spoiling anything for you here, because I know that maybe you'll eventually watch it. But have you dove into this backwoods Tampa, Oklahoma story about lions, tigers, and some bears?
No, but basically, there's a Miami tie-in, there's a West Palm tie-in,
okay,
and
so
I watched it twice because I could not believe what I witnessed the first time. I'm thinking when I first heard it, I'm like, oh, tigers, I love tigers, right? Oh my God, this would be, I think it's about big cats. And after the first episode with the, you know, picking my jaw up off the ground, like, what am I watching? It's like Jerry Springer on crack. I never
seen anything like it.
It was... And then it just progressively got more outrageous as I watched it. It was really some of the most interesting, one of the best documentaries I've seen in a long time, certainly from entertainment value. And keep in mind, all of that is real.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. Honestly, think about it. Do you think that if there were sports going on and everything else going on in the world, that this would be this popular? I'm on the fence with this. Like, I get it. It's popular. Everyone is talking about it. But I think that this is just a result of having like nothing else to watch on TV. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is that good. I thought it was okay, but I thought it was like six episodes that could have been done in like two. Like I don't know. You think it would be this popular if the NBA was playing right now and baseball was going? You do?
You know what it is? I think the buzz around it would have been there. Like I do think the buzz would have been there, and I think people would have. I don't know that as many people would have watched it in the short 2 weeks now that we've been hearing about it, but I do think people would have heard about it and been like, oh, I gotta check this out. Like, I gotta hear about it because it's that outrage. We all love a good car crash. You know, there's a reason why people watch Jerry Springer over and over and over. This is
reality TV.
It's got everything. I mean, this has got everything, including Joe Exotic actually running for governor and president here. It's unbelievable what you've got. You know, you got meth heads, you got big cats, you got drug dealers, you got, you know, murderers. Like, it's
I'm not just impressed you watched it once. I mean, come on, you really watched this twice? I'm so impressed.
I couldn't believe the first time. Yes, I could not believe. I was like, I gotta watch.
You can't bet
again
on that, Joe.
Yeah,
you can't bet on the Tiger King.
I just can't. And then, for those of you who didn't see it, you will. There is some murder mystery in this, in which the Tampa Bay Sheriff, I believe, in Tampa County there, the Leon or Hillsborough County, one of them, has reopened the murder case from back
in
1996.
I asked about this with someone today on the phone. They said that it was actually a cold case, which means it just keeps going on.
Yes.
So it's like now people are participating, because that's the same thing that I said. They reopened the case, and he was very specific with me, and he said, no, it's not actually them reopening the case.
Right, exactly.
It's just they just never solved it, and it just stays open.
Yep.
And
well,
now people
– he fed him to the Tigers. I mean, more
– You convinced
short,
of that?
I am totally convinced of that. Or he is buried somewhere on that.
I think that's acres. The deal.
But,
I think that
yeah.
she had so many acres of land
yep.
that – And she's very convincing. And
she's full of crap. I've never seen anything like it. She would be the best person to play poker at because she's got that poker tell. You know, she rolls her eyes, throws her head back every time she talks about how, oh, that's crazy. Like, yeah, oh, no, it's not crazy. You rewrote his will, and you whacked him and probably fed him in the meat
Something
grinder
happened.
And gave it to him.
Yeah.
So, like,
I mean,
and her brother was a county sheriff there. Was a
right.
county officer. Like, I'm like, you got to be kidding me here. Unbelievable. Really is. I might watch it a third time.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Wow, Joe. I mean, like, you know, you never know what you're going to get with your co-host. I'm impressed. Joe is all in on it.
Come on. And listen, you're there. The guy in Miami alone with the private collection was the actual, you know, he was the influence into Scarface.
Right.
You know, this is a guy that was sentenced to 100 years and got out after
he served in two. He served too. That's a true Miami story
yes,
for sure.
Yeah, cut up an ATF agent, like, you know, fed it to his aunt. I just can't. But these people live not that far from us. That's the crazy part about
it. I know. Yeah, and, you know, in Florida, not in Oklahoma.
No, in Florida, yeah.
In Florida, for sure. So here's a couple of, like, side note stories that come out of this one, and we'll start with this one. Shaquille O'Neal has a very short clip being in this documentary on Netflix. For those of you who haven't seen it, I don't think that's spoiling anything or ruining it.
No.
But Shaquille O'Neal has come out recently in the last 24, 48 hours and said that he had no idea that the things that were going on in Oklahoma were at the time. So knowing Shaq and knowing a little bit about him, I'm gonna believe him in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say, Joe, I don't think we're done with the celebrity aspect of this. I think that some pictures are going to pop up of some people that were at this place, had the big cats around this place.
Yep.
I think we are far from done for the celebrity TMZ style of realizing that we got a bigger story ahead of us coming with some celebrity or some athlete of some kind.
I am, listen, if he didn't set fire to his own damn room there and burn all the footage that might have incriminated him forever, I agree with you. I mean, it was funny because while this filmmaker was doing this, and it really, this guy started out on doing a thing about Big Cat Rescue and, you know,
right.
you know, tigers, and it morphed into a five-year, he's basically been there. He was there for 5 years putting this all together, and even he couldn't believe what he was filming. So Shaq happened to be, you know, early on, one of the guys that came in, and we know guys buying Tiger. Tyson had one.
Yep.
You know, we know of these guys that do this, and it's, you know, it wasn't, nobody was breaking any laws. That's the whole thing. Nobody was breaking any laws. You can have your opinion on whether you like it, you don't like it, whatever it is, but the reality is Jack was in there buying a lion or buying a cub at the time where it is legal to buy them, but my word, nobody would have known what was going on
what
there.
What kind Why of pets would, do you have, I, Joe? What kind of pets?
That?
Do you have pets?
Yeah, I'm a dog guy. So yes, I'm a dog.
Well, but do you, and here's what I'm missing here a little. I've never been a huge pet guy over the course mm-hmm. of my life.
Right.
You know, my kids have always wanted one. Like, there's been debate on that going on in this house forever. What is that infatuation though? Like apparently, like, there's like some huge infatuation for people with these big cats. I don't, and I've had cats before, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out what that passion is or that addiction is to it. I guess it's just like anything. Some people love certain things, but that's not one for me. I don't know.
You know, listen, if you're an animal person, right? So if you're an animal person, dogs, cats, you know, that kind of situation, I am a giant dog guy. I love cats, all of that good stuff there. But I have always, one of the bucket lists for me things that was always to be that guy to be able to, you know, sit down with a little cub and a tiger. I've been infatuated with tigers for a long time. I would have been one of those guys that, you know, wanted to hold it, take my picture with him. Just the power and the adrenaline rush that must happen. I mean, you saw the size of that. It, like, being able to take your pictures and stick your head into a lion's mouth, like, you got to be kidding me. It's, like, crazy. But that people kept going back, like, 2-3 times a week to go back there. And I think it's that adrenaline rush that does it, man. I mean, we're talking a full live 400-pound tiger, like, just crazy. Absolutely.
The amount of money that they paid for to see these animals too. Hundreds a pop, right? Each time they would go.
$600 a shot to go in there and be, you know, like a little playpen. Like, here's the little cub, and you get to roll around with a baby tiger, who, by the way, is only that size for about 12 weeks. And you know, people take them home, and then like 3 months later, you got a 250-pound lion tiger, and you're like, can you get this thing out of here? And they end up coming back. So, you know, that's what people argue about, but that power, man, I just being able to roll around with a tiger is just, it's mind-blowing to me.
But you've never had any experience like that, though, right?
No, I've always wanted, listen, I've swim with dolphins, you know what
I
mean?
I've done that, too.
You've done that, too. I mean, it's that kind of exhilarating experience where, like, wow, I can't believe I'm, you know, here I am. Have you ever been to SeaWorld, something along those lines? And you see the orca comes right up and drenches you, but it's, you know, being that close, imagine that, being able to hold a tiger. It's just,
yeah, I guess so. I just never really thought that through. Well, the one celebrity in the last couple of days that the picture is going around with, and Joe, and I don't know if you saw this, and certainly a quick Google on the internet will show it to you.
Yeah.
But when Britney Spears had her, like, her concert at the VMAs back in, I think it was 2002.
Yep.
She actually used one of Doc Antle, who's one of the stars of the documentary, one of his tigers. I think we could do like a whole documentary on this guy, Joe.
Yes.
Like we just simply took it for granted that this guy was a tiger guy and just basically had a harem of women and just didn't.
It's a cult.
Wasn't
Let's call it what it.
It
is. That a lot of these guys had cults. I mean, that's what it is. And it's amazing to me because you're right. Each one of the people, each character in this show, guys, and I say character, but they're real people. Every one of them could have a spin-off reality TV.
They could.
Every one of them. Yep. It would be phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And you know what? Probably pretty good for business with Doc Antle probably right now. As soon as everything opens back up, where do you think a lot of people are going to go?
Oh, forget about it. You're right, Joe. That's a really good point. I mean, first of all, everyone will want to go to sporting events.
Right.
But you're right. Like who after that Netflix thing wasn't over, who wasn't Googling a where are they now?
Going to get them. Absolutely.
From these people, too.
Yep.
And the final thing on this one is Joe Exotic, without ruining the documentary for everybody else. I don't want to get into the specifics, but does it come off to you that this guy just got a horrible deal and was set up? I feel bad for this guy, man.
All right. Listen, I feel bad as I can. He was his worst enemy. I mean, let's face it. He created a lot of the drama in his life. He is where he is, which I believe is in jail now. I mean, obviously. That's
for a long
how the show
time.
Starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a long time. So was it excessive? Yeah, probably. But the reality is, so many steps along the way, he could have just let it be. And, you know, cooler heads would have prevailed, but that's not who he was. That's not who he is. And, but that guy is just, I do think somewhere along the line, especially after this, there'll be an appeal. Something along the lines is going to happen. I don't think we've heard the end of it yet.
Yeah. Either way, you could check out the documentary.
Oh, you have
Netflix,
to at this point.
For sure. Yeah. I've seen it. I'm into Ozark right now.
Yeah. I have, that's my next one.
It's great. I mean, I've already seen the first two seasons, and my wife are watching. We're about five episodes in.
Oh,
I will
tell you, how is the third season?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's very
good.
It's very good. The worst thing I watched on Netflix recently was a show or a movie called The Platform.
Ooh.
Because what happens is Netflix tells you like what's in their top 10. So
well, that's the jail one, isn't it? Where they
it's so bad.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
so
no,
bad.
Yeah, no,
so bad. Disgusting. Like you gory. Just. I regret it. Like, and then what do you do when you're like 45 minutes in? Do you stop?
You're sucked into
I'm
it.
Like,
you gotta
no.
go.
And like, my son is coming over. I'm like, you have to leave the room. You can't watch this here. Like, pause, stop, pause.
Yep. It's like, oh God, he's got. Oh, this
I don't care what anybody says. They're like, oh, like I read the reviews on it after just to see if like who was the idiot that would say something good about this.
Right.
And there are people like, oh, it shows you about social and in the world and the haves and the have-nots. I'm like, let me tell you, I have not wished I watched anything less than this. It was just so bad. I would honestly, like, if you want to just ruin somebody's day, tell them to watch this.
That's movie. Right at the top of the suggested list, too.
And it's dubbed over. Yep. And I'm fine with subtitles, but they decided not to do subtitles. Right. And I guess it was in Latin, and they dubbed it over in English. So all the mouths are speaking English.
It's terrible.
Before we close this out, the UFC apparently will get some, very soon, some sort of reasoning on this. April 18th is their next event. Dana White says somewhere, somehow, some way, they're going to be fighting in the UFC. Now, for us who are sitting at home, of course, we're like, oh, great, UFC. Do you really think that this is going to happen, Joe? Is Dana White going to find a spot for the UFC to be able to have this fight? It certainly will get as many or more views than anything that's on television, but he's claiming somewhere in the world he'll be able to have this. Do you think that this ends up happening on April 18th?
I don't know how he's going to do his main fight. Khabib can't get out of Russia. Like, they're not letting him out of Russia. He can't fly out of Russia. He can't leave. There's lockdowns all over the place, including in Russia. So I don't know, unless he's got a way to figure how to get him out of Russia, I don't know how that's going to happen against Tony Ferguson. So it certainly ain't going to happen in Brooklyn. They ain't letting anybody in Vegas. I have no idea. I think it's a pipe dream myself.
Yeah. Did you see that by the way, speaking of Vegas, did you see that the win sent out a digital flyer to people that they're going to start taking reservations again in like late April?
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. And I don't think they're the only one. I think there's a few there that are starting to
at
least lay that seed down, right? So the marketing department is in full effect. Listen, I turn on the news, I'm watching 500 people sleeping in a parking lot in Vegas. So it's like, you know, each one's got their own parking slip. You know, they got other problems going on there. We all got our own problems in the state, but between cars being checked in Florida, trying to enter state, and 500 homeless people picking a parking spot and sleeping in it, it's gone crazy.
Wild times, crazy. For sure. Yeah. Yep. All right. We got about 20 minutes to go here on the show. Stay tuned all day long. We got a lot of great programming coming for you here on Sports Grid. Of course, Pharrell's got his show coming up a little bit later today, In Game Live, a lot of fun stuff. And again, you can catch Joe tomorrow morning as well on the early line and the morning after. Just look at our program grid, which is now starting to be updated on all of the different platforms that we're on. You can catch any show you want also on demand on YouTube as well. We'll be back right here on Fantasy Sports Today, right here on Sports Grid. It's Craig Mish and it's Joe Ranieri, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes after these messages. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Ranieri here with you on the show. Just to kind of update something that I mentioned earlier in the show, and just want to be clear, mentioning that Canada and specifically Toronto had mentioned that there were going to be no public events through June 30th. But just updating that story just to make sure I get it right is that the mayor has come out of Toronto since and said that does not include sporting events.
Ah.
So another one of those we'll see by the time we are back here on the show tomorrow. It probably will include sporting events. But, you know, these situations are so fluid, right. Every single one of them.
There won't be basically any fans there, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. The Blue Jays could play their games, maybe.
Right.
But
at the Rogers Center, but nobody will be there.
No fans. I think it's all the same. The prediction for me stays the same. It's a late May spring training with nobody there. It's a June baseball season with no one in the stands. And then July 4th, probably open. Hopefully at that point, they can open it back up. But still, we're still very much in the dark, just like you are, just like everybody else is. Yep. We're trying to keep it as light as we can, as entertaining as we can. Let's go to the NBA and the latest in the NBA. We haven't heard from the NBA in a while, actually.
Yes.
It's like baseball's been talking a lot. NFL's been talking a lot. Hockey's been a little quiet, too, actually. But the NBA, at this point, has essentially, Joe, it feels like they've come to the realization that whenever they start back up, it is playoff time. And in fact, some of at least the innuendo from some of the NBA general managers and some of the NBA teams that they're starting to just assume that the standings are final and they can start looking into the matchups that they're going to have against their respective teams. And guess what? If I'm an NBA executive, Joe, and I can't get into the office and I'm sitting at home and I could just transfer video back and forth, I think that's a great idea. You could just start preparing your team for the NBA playoffs, whoever the one seed is to play the 8, whoever the 4 is to play the 5. That seems to make some sense. But what they don't know at this stage right now is that if there's a high percentage and a high probability of them just playing the NBA playoffs,
right,
what would those playoffs look like? It seems as though they've eliminated the idea of just playing one game. They're not going to do that. Like
right.
The 1 is not going to play the 8 for one game. But 3-game series, Joe, are on the table. 5-game series is on the table. And then, of course, they would love to have the 7-game series, make more money, have more TV. That doesn't seem to be – it's more realistic than a 1-game deal, but the 7-game series, at least in the first couple rounds, doesn't seem to be as realistic. So where do you see it at this point?
I think, and I love this about baseball and Rob Manfred, this is it's unprecedented. We are not in any sort of situation we've ever been in before, and I think everything should be on the table. As crazy as it even may seem, I think everything should be up for grabs, and I think baseball's done a really good job of putting that out there. They haven't even played a game yet, and yet they're already laying foundations of, you know, ties, and they're going across the board, and we should all be okay with that because nothing about this year is ever going to be viewed upon in any book, record book, or anything as normal.
Of course. Yeah.
To me, if you can get Vegas, who has the court, you know, who has the arenas to be able to do it, that's where they play the summer league, obviously, so they have the ability. If you can somehow get them there, and I'm talking about the entire league, finish out the 18 or 19 games there, house them in one of those, one of the hotels there that's available, secluded, away from everyone, and get to the playoffs, I think the sooner the better. And if that's not a possibility, I would love to see a March Madness style. Put them all in. Let's go. One game. Let's get them
every
all
NBA
in.
Team. Wow.
Every NBA team, single elimination. Let's go. And this way, forget about the rest of the regular season. You win and you advance, and you can do all of that. I do think it's got to happen from a central location, though. I don't know any place better than Vegas, who's more equipped to be able to handle that. But I think why not throw them in there? 32 teams. Everybody's in. This is not a normal year anyway. Of course, the alternative is just scrap the year and start again next year.
Yeah, I think that they're going to play the playoffs for sure. A 3-game series is interesting. I could see that happening.
Yep.
Best of 3. You're right, though. Could all be in one location for sure.
Right.
And would certainly, once we get any notification of this, would change the way that we look at these futures, too. I mean, that would be a complete game changer to think that some of these teams, like the 1 seed playing the 8 seed, 8 seed wins two, wins the first one by dumb luck. Yep. All they got to do is win 1 out of 2 and they're in.
Yep. And the draft too gets, by not playing that 18 or 19 games to left, you know, that people playing for ping pong balls and different things. So how do you, how do you go from there? How does that affect the draft moving forward? There's a lot of, you know, if they can get those 18 or 19 games in, I think they'll be better off for it. But I think it's got to happen from one place. And then by all means, take the, you know, eight on one side, eight on, do whatever you got to do and get it done. I think 2 out of 3 is realistic.
Yep. Very briefly, also, the NCAA announced essentially that all of the kids who are involved in the spring sports are going to be able to go back and play another season. They'll have another season of eligibility, which is clearly the right thing to do, Joe. The only question is should they have given some of the winter sports that got themselves cut off a little quick another year? I don't think so. I think the NCAA played this one right. You know, you can't expect any kid who's not playing for 5 months to be able to legitimately figure out what his future is going to look like. So they gave them the extra year. I don't think that they had to go beyond that.
Yep.
In my opinion, I think it's open and shut case, but just wanted to mention it on the show today.
I think it's easier with the spring sports. When you're talking about basketball, listen, coaches recruit based upon those who are exiting and those that are coming in. It makes it real difficult if you got now a guy coming back again, a senior coming back, when you got a freshman coming in. You're going to have to losing a year of eligibility on a freshman because you have. So I think basketball, it's very cloudy, but baseball, the senior wants to come back and play his final year of baseball. It's not going to account against them, I believe, if they're seniors as far as the scholarship count goes. So there's some financial aid availability that they're working out. I get it with the spring sports. It's easier to manage, I think, in the spring sports than it is with, shall we say, you know, the basketball team is a totally different animal.
Running through some of the news in the last 24 hours, the Olympics officially will not be in 2020. We know that. It'll be in 2021. You know, of course, that's a very big event for a lot of amateurs and certainly is. I kind of feel like, just off topic, Joe, here a little bit, like either you love the Olympics or you don't care about it at all. I've really never gotten super into the Olympics for whatever reason, whether it's been the summer or winter Olympics. Now, of course, I don't wish it to be canceled. I wish it was happening in a couple of months from now in Tokyo. They made the right call. Clearly, they had to postpone this thing. Too much traveling. Who knows what the country is going to look like? I know they initially were holding on to hope that they could get some of it played, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
Is that a fair assessment that it's like either you're an Olympics guy or you're not? I don't think that there's like a halfway in it. Like I whenever the Olympics was going on, whether it was Eastern time during the day or even overnight, I was never super into it. I don't know why.
I like the Winter Olympics more than I like the Summer Olympics, because I think it's a little more bearable and watchable. You know, you know, guys in the luge, who's going to wipe out? You know what I mean? Half ice, who's going to, curling. I mean, who doesn't love a good curling match at 2:30 in the morning when it's halfway around the world? So to me, I think the Winter Olympics by far is more enjoyable to watch than the track and field games and whatnot.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson, who is going to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Joe, he made his choice yesterday as to who he wanted to have present him. That's always a very big deal for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And as it turns out, the decision was made by Jimmy, who is a resident close by of ours, living in Key Largo, living the great life. I've been to Jimmy Johnson's restaurant, by the way, and in Key Largo as well. He decided Troy Aikman is going to present him and not Jerry Jones. I thought everything was cool between the two of them. He could have picked Jerry Jones, but he chose to go with Troy Aikman. What do you think about that decision?
It doesn't surprise me in the least. I don't think... you're talking about two very stubborn, egotistical guys that on the surface are probably saying, nah, it's all good, water under the bridge. Yeah, I doubt it very, very much. And I think we saw Aikman's response, right? Remember on the broadcast, Aikman was real emotional about it.
Crying.
So happy for Jimmy. So, you know, listen, that was the real first. That was Jimmy Johnson's. That was it, man. That was his golden ticket. That was his golden goose. And it all started drafting Aikman out of UCLA first, losing all those games the first year, and then
trading Herschel Walker, right?
That's it. That was Jimmy, man. So I don't, does not, it wasn't going to be Dan Marino.
No, it wasn't. A lot of people forget that Dallas also spent an early round pick earlier. I have to go back and look, but on Steve Walsh. Remember Walsh, who won a championship in Miami?
That's correct. Yep.
And they had both him and Aikman. People thought Steve Walsh was going to be good too. Of course, it didn't work out that way.
No.
Aikman, of course, became the
Hall of Fame. And then they just, they had to be that bad early on in order to be able to get, you know, the Emmitts, the Irvings, and everybody else. But you knew the Miami tie, the line, that was how he was going to build. And Jerry knew it, too. And Jerry, Jerry was bent because he was getting all the press and the credit, and Jerry wasn't. And that, I don't see how that ever is going to be water under the bridge.
Well, apparently not, if that was the final decision. I mean, if you needed anything else in the final postscript of Jimmy Johnson's football career going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he picked the quarterback as opposed to the owner, which does make some sense. But you're right. Jimmy did go to Miami. It was the coach of Miami and then plucked a lot of his guys, Michael Irvin,
Oklahoma
Russell Maryland.
State first.
Emmitt Smith played at the University of Florida. He just kept tapping into the Miami pipeline for a long period of time, and it certainly ended up working until, you're right, they had that dissension, and that was kind of the end of the line. And Barry Switzer took over, got him to a Super Bowl again.
Convicts versus Catholics, baby. That's what we got. It was, he was a part of some of the biggest, most memorable both college and NFL years. So I'm happy for I'm shocked it took this long, but I'm happy for Jimmy.
All right, real quick, a couple of minutes on this. No more. Tom Brady gets his number 12. Godwin moves over to number 14. How much money you think Tom Brady gave Godwin?
I don't know, man. It's going to have to be a pretty penny. I'm sure he wasn't.
I mean, it's Tom Brady, right? Yeah. You could ask for whatever you want, no?
Yeah, you pretty much can over there.
But exactly. What can you? Do you have to just defer to him or I think behind the scenes, what do you think Brady ruled him off? 10 grand, 20 grand?
It might have been six figures. It might have been.
Wow, yeah, 100 grand for the
figures.
Number, right?
Absolutely. Oh, listen, he can afford. Either that or a couple of pictures of his wife, one or the other. So I don't know which one or the other. Could have been anything. You never know.
You're going down. It's the end of the show. You're going down a weird road, Joe.
Just saying.
Tiger King Road. Now.
Yeah, you got me, Joe Exotic. I'm just saying anything is possible. These generation of kids here.
Yeah. So Tom Brady wears 12. Godwin wears 14. Okay. So that closes that story out. The other story that is a good story for us, because we really don't have a lot to watch these days on television, is ESPN decided yesterday that they're going to move up this Michael Jordan. Is it a 10-part documentary? Did I get that right?
Yep.
10-part documentary. Instead of debuting in June, it's going to debut in April. And I will say this. I'm very happy that we're going to get to see this. And certainly anything to do with Michael Jordan and the Bulls, you know, is cool. ESPN's got some pressure to have this good now, right? All this talk about this documentary. We got to move it up. We need something to watch.
Yep.
ESPN does things. The 30 for 30s, for the most part, are all fantastic. I would expect this will end up being fantastic. But so many people, Joe, are going to now be watching this with nothing else to do and nothing else to watch on television. I hope, for ESPN's sake, that this is a big hit, because anything less is going to be a disappointment now with this buildup.
There is some talk, too, that they are going to go into his father's killing a little bit more, the murder of his father, maybe a little bit more on the gambling aspect. I mean, either way, Jordan would have had, I think, at some point to have signed off on this.
He's interviewed in it.
Yeah, so I mean, he had to have been signed off it, but from what I'm reading, they do spend a lot of time focusing on that, you know, going into baseball, his father dying, the rumors, innuendo about, you know, his gambling, his father's gambling. So it'll be interesting to see how they lay it out in 10 parts.
Yeah, for sure. Did you ever have a chance to see Jordan play in person, Joe? Did you ever go to a game?
I did. Yes, I did. Yeah. When I was back in, I did get a chance to go to the Garden 1 year and had a chance to see Michael go up against Patrick Ewing back in the day. So I'll never forget it. And I was up in the bleachers up there back then. But I saw Jordan at a restaurant here a couple of years ago.
Really?
And I had turned the corner at a Rocco's Tacos, and I turned the corner and there he was, and I bumped into him, and it's the first time to this day in my entire life, I couldn't talk, I couldn't move, I just sat there like a total idiot, man, and he was like, hey, I'm sorry, you know, and I'm like, he put his arm on my shoulder, I was absolute, I couldn't talk, I didn't move, I don't think I showered. Like, I was a unbelievably starstruck, and that's the first time. And I've interviewed everybody.
I agree with you.
Blown away.
And my story isn't quite the same, but it is similar in the sense that I saw him play with the Bulls against the Heat many times at the old arena, for sure. And in the playoffs, too, when the Heat was the 8 seed and the Bulls were the 1 seed. I went to a lot of games. I saw Jordan probably play in person a half a dozen to a dozen times. But when he came back with the Wizards and the Heat moved to the American Airlines Arena, I was a member of the media at that point, and I remember thinking to myself, I want to be able to interview Michael Jordan because I want to be able to say, like we're sitting here now, that I did, and I want to ask the first question. And I accomplished all of those things. I went to the game that the Wizards played. I got in there and I asked the very first question just because I wanted to feel like I could say that I did it. And that is, it wasn't a great question. I don't even remember what it was. But either way, I got in there and I did it. It will not be in the documentary. Let's put it that way. It did not make it. Maybe in the Tiger King documentary, but it will not be in the Michael Jordan.
I love it. Yes. Yeah, that's it. Michael is Michael.
All right. That will do it for this show. Thanks again to everybody who is watching all of our programming. We really appreciate it. Stay safe out there. Keep yourself at home as much as you possibly can with social distancing. Wash your hands. Do all the great stuff that the CDC is recommending. Please. For my co-host, Joe Ranieri, I am Craig Mish. This is Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in then. Have a great day or great night, whenever you're watching this. And we'll talk to you again soon. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.